Now, we're going to go back to talking elections, but not necessarily election 2020. And although in the long history of Irish election upsets, 2020 will certainly feature, don't know if it'll necessarily match the story of Clann na Poblachta. Now, this was created by Sean McBride, former IRA chief of staff, later a founder of Amnesty International. There was a fairly chaotic general election in 1948 in which the party took 10 seats, ended up holding the balance of power, and it did what many people thought would never be able to do. It was able to topple Fianna Fáil. But what would emerge, which became the state's first inter-party government, coalitions as we now know them, it was a fairly volatile experiment. So what are the lessons to be learned today in the story of Clann na Poblachta, who were subsequently wiped out electorally and who never returned to government? Well, if that doesn't sound like the giggle of Dolan Fallon, tell us exactly what the lessons can be learned.
There's members of many negotiating teams listening to the radio now taking notes.
You said it good, right? Okay. Oh, junior partners, right. Let's take a listen. I mentioned there that coalition is now an accepted reality of politics, but it's worth reminding people, of course, that it wasn't always so.
No, I mean, for a long time we lived within a two-party system defined by the Civil War, and many people believed we always would. And the start of this party, Clann na Poblachta, you know, it burned brightly, but it burned briefly in Irish politics. And actually, when you look at the story, some of the most remarkable names of 20th century Irish history are in here. Sean McBride and Noel Brown in particular. And it is a good time to look at this in the aftermath of an election, which I think has left the political landscape totally uneven in a very new place. Mm. So for many people, you know, even the idea of coalition was a very, very curious one. We'd gone from Cumann na Gael, who did 10 years, to Fianna Fáil, who did, I think, 16, which was
32 to 48,
absolutely remarkable.
Yeah.
But then 1948 opens up this entire new kind of political path of broad compromise. And as we know from recent weeks, I mean, if the popular vote alone determined government, Fianna Fáil would actually never have left power between 32 and 2011, yeah, which is absolutely incredible. But by the late 1940s, I think there was a growing unease at Fianna Fáil rule in the country, and kind of various different sources of discontent. I think when they'd gone into to government for the first time in 32, they were exciting, they were young, they were fresh. Mm. You know, Sean Lamass beautifully described them as a slightly constitutional party. But by the late 40s, they no longer had the fresh faces.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
this is 16 unbroken years of Éamon de Valera,
which is extraordinary. Imagine 16 years of any government. Mm. So, I mean, they'd swept the power, Fianna Fáil, promising, you know, massive investment in jobs, in housing, the national question. But by 1948, I think there was unease on all of those fronts. And when you have that much discontent with the government, you know, it found political expression, among other ways, in this new party, Clann na Poblachta.
And from its very outset, you mentioned the two of the figures there, Sean McBride and Noel Brown. It was a fairly odd mix of people to all find within the one political banner, really, wasn't it?
Sean McBride lives an incredible life. I don't think, like, imagine being the chief of staff of the IRA and later winning the Nobel Prize for Peace. I mean, that is an extraordinary journey to go on in one lifetime. He's the child of Major John McBride, 1916 martyr, and the kind of imposing Maud Gonne, you know, who describes herself as Ireland's Joan of Arc, which takes a certain confidence. So, you know, Sean McBride is like a symbol. You know, when he's a child, he's like a symbol. He's pictured wrapped in the green flag with his revolutionary parents, born in Paris, never quite loses the Parisian accent. And then as a young man, moves through the ranks of the IRA, becoming chief of staff in 36. It's a real poison chalice at that moment in time, and his tenure is quite brief. Mm. But, you know, ultimately he would sever his connections with the IRA, called to the bar, but he remained kind of Republican in his belief system, and he'd no absence of confidence. And I think by the second half of the 1940s, McBride kind of viewed himself as the man who was capable of ending De Valera's reign, and he was willing to gather basically anyone he could around him in pursuit of it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are angry in that time. You know, Ireland is broke. We're still rationing food. We weren't even in World War II.
We're still butter voucher territory.
The neighbours have come out of World War II and they're building the NHS. We weren't even in the war and we're still rationing food. Home construction had slowed down to a trickle. Unemployment was through the roof, as was emigration. Mm. So, I mean, the country was looking for something new, and I think Sean McBride felt he could offer it.
Talk to us about the name of the party, which even some people would think is significant. The word Poblachta, you know, republic. Because bearing in mind, at the time, Ireland might have seen itself as a republic, but was not in fact actually declared.
Yeah, he's found it's a kind of Comali party, you know, and you can tell a few things about the party looking in, but the name Clann na Poblachta, family of the republic, and technically there is no republic. Ireland is still the free state under the conditions of the treaty. So even putting that name into the public arena says a lot. And in the words of Elizabeth Keane, who's McBride's biographer, she says the party aimed to be broadly based and to concentrate on social and economic problems. So anyone who was unhappy with the existing government, and and that was a lot of people, and were in any way broadly Republican, were welcomed in.
So it had been an attempt to become the third sort of catch-all party, really. Particularly important, though, was the young blood and a certain GP.
What a brilliant figure in 20th century Irish history, the young Dr. Noel Brown. Mm. And Brown's memoir, Against the Tide, is a really good read. And he talks about, you know, he didn't really know what Clan na Publicta was all about. And to be honest, he says, neither did they. You know, he says, there was widespread discontent. As a doctor, I shared that discontent. I was especially unhappy about general medical needs and the virtually non-existent TB eradication programme. So without knowing very much about Clan na Publicta, I welcomed it, all else having failed to give results. There were many of my age with the same outlook who were weary of the gross incompetence of a succession of Civil War generation politicians. If Clan na Publicta were not quite what we were looking for, then we could make it work. So in other words, this was something new. It was a blank canvas, and young people in particular were kind of drawn towards it. So you get these kind of young optimists like GP Noel Brown, but then other people who join it do have a long history, and the Gardaí in particular and the Special Branch are kind of looking in going, what is this party all about? I mean, it's a guy called Mick Fitzpatrick, Kilkenny man, veteran of the Civil War, the link between the IRA and Soviet Russia in the 1920s, someone who travelled.
There's a selection of words right there. The link between the IRA and Soviet Russia.
He travelled to Moscow on several occasions. He established the Irish section of the Friends of Soviet Russia in Moscow as recently as 1932, and now he's part of this new political party, and no one can really figure out how can a party appeal to someone like that and to someone like Noel Brown, and Fitzpatrick becomes a TD.
You mentioned how Clan na Publicta was trying to sort of become this sort of catch-all vaguely Republican party, which of course was in effect what Fianna Fáil had become at the time as well. So they must have been pretty petrified by these new guys trying to eat their dinner.
I think that the trick for Clan na Publicta was to look more green and more Republican than Fianna Fáil, but less green and less Republican, if possible, than the IRA. In other words, to position yourself as a more Republican party than Fianna Fáil. And they win two by-elections in 1947, Dublin County, Tipperary, on a day that there were three by-elections. So the newspapers the next day were kind of dominated by this story, and McBride himself got elected. So De Valera panics, and he's not the first or last Taoiseach, because we know now in recent times, to get the mood wrong. He calls a snap election, and the hope is, I'll catch these off guard. You know, these are new kids on the block. Yeah. They're not ready for a general election.
So when this the party is in the ascendancy, he says, now is the time to test the will of the people.
I know, but I think he feels they don't have the commons, they don't have the people on the ground, they don't have the infrastructure to fight the election. Let's go for it. And I mean, it's a mess. Clan take 174,000 votes, which is pretty impressive. 10 seats on the day. But the usual stuff works against them. They don't run enough candidates. They've got bad vote management. Labour, for example.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, Labour come away with four more TDs elected, despite only getting 115,000 votes. Yeah. 60,000 less than Clan na Publicta. So as we are currently learning at the moment, these things count for very little, actually. All that matters is how many bums can you get on seats inside of Leinster House. And De Valera took 67 seats. So basically nearly seven seats for every one that Clan na Publicta got, and more than twice what Fine Gael got, but it wasn't enough. And for the first time in the history of the state, basically, what you were going to end up with was a coalition of everyone who wasn't Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, basically everyone but Dev, to try and keep Dev out and to have a little bit of vibrancy in politics. Now, this kind of led McBride to a bit of a dilemma, though, because he was faced with this idea of going into coalition with other people in Leinster House, the other anyone but Devs, who were former life or death enemies.
Yeah, who all had their own histories. And actually, Sean McBride's election poster was "Get them out," which does exactly what it says in the tin. Yeah. And when you put posters around the country saying "Get them out," them being the government party, Fianna Fáil, you can't really go into coalition with them. Mm. So, you know, Fianna Fáil and coming to Publicta probably would have been a more ideologically, you know, comfortable relationship than what you ended up with. And I mean, the leader of Fine Gael at the time is Richard Mulcahy, or Dick Mulcahy, who was a very senior figure in the Civil War saga. And actually, during the Civil War, there'd been very crude Republican graffiti after Michael Collins was killed: "Move over, Mick, make way for Dick," which says a lot about kind of Dick Mulcahy was viewed by some Republicans. Mm. So could someone like Sean McBride, or the prior mentioned Mick Fitzpatrick, could you serve under someone who you'd oppose militarily in the Civil War?
And it was a very novel solution they came up with, wasn't it?
Unbelievably, the Labour Party have this great idea where the leader of the Labour Party says, why don't we have a situation where no party leader will serve as Taoiseach? Now, he knew he could never be Taoiseach himself, but why don't we have a situation where no party leader can serve as Taoiseach? So John A. Costello basically is brought up through the ranks and he assumes the office. And it's quite mad to imagine. Imagine today having a Taoiseach who isn't the leader of their own political party. Mm. You know, it never happened before, and it will probably, in fact, it will definitely never happen again, but that was the time.
I think it happened for a week in 2017 when before Leo Varadkar took over as Taoiseach, and I think it happened for about a week back in 2011 after Micheál Martin took over from Brian Cowan. But yeah, it's pretty rare for it to be such a sustained period. The big question then for people coming together in an anyone but Fianna Fáil model, which is something that some people might like in 2020, is, did that government actually work?
It was a remarkable government. Noel Brown, Minister for Health, maybe the greatest Minister for Health in the history of the state, you know, brought down, unfortunately. Sean McBride, Minister for External Affairs, Mulcahy Education. And I think one that's really overlooked, Timothy Murphy, who died in office, Labour Party, Minister for Local Government and Housing. And I mean, he just restarted home building on a massive scale. I mean, housing was one of the big, big issues, like the election we've just had. By 51, they were building about 12,000 new homes a year, which wasn't enough. You know, it was a real step forward. And I mean, they clearly had a real desire to start building houses in a big way and to go to war on the slums. But in total, there were five parties in the coalition. And that was unheard of almost anywhere in the world. In countries where they did coalition as standard. Five parties.
Throwing a few independents as well, I think.
A couple of independents in the mix. It's a lot of people. And the achievements of the government, I mean, one of the things they achieved was enormous. They declared a republic in 1948. But the challenges were massive. And I think when you have a coalition government, and there's a word of warning in this for everyone today, I mean, it's not about the numbers. It's about shared belief. There has to be some kind of unity in a vision. And when this government were on the ropes, as they sometimes were, they didn't tend to fight together. They didn't fight each other's corner. So actually, the ultimate issue that brought the government down was the Mother and Child Scheme, which was a very noble attempt by Noel Brown to try and reform the Irish health system, and the clergy rallied against it. They feared it would open the door to kind of birth control or abortion. And even the Church of Ireland Gazette, which was often more liberal than the Catholic Church, described Noel Brown and the scheme as communist interference with the family structure. So, I mean, in his time, Noel Brown, the health budget went from £700,000 in 1947 to £5 million in 1951.
That's a sort of rampant overspending that we've become accustomed to these days. Like the health budget just keeps inflating.
Just extraordinary stuff. Yeah.
But demonstrably better outcomes.
Mother and Child Scheme, when that erupts, I mean, the accusation that's levelled against Sean McBride is that they just abandon Brown. They throw him to the wolves when the going gets tough.
Which is something that carries a bit of weight, isn't it? Because there might have been five parties in this coalition, but they were both from the same party. Yeah. So you might think you'd stand by your own.
Absolutely. And they couldn't stand the side of each other by the end of it. And rather than standing by their man, so to speak, Brown resigns. The fallout's dramatic enough to trigger a general election in 51. If you're Fianna Fáil and you've just done 16 years in coalition, or sorry, 16 years in government on your own, you might look at this coalition that's only lasted 3 years and think, well, maybe one party ruled his best.
Well, this was it. That he became Fianna Fáil's calling card for a generation afterwards. Of course, it wasn't until 1989 they were convinced to go in, because their calling card was always that coalitions are by their nature unsteady. But anyway, going back to 1951, Clann obviously then is rocked by the resignation of Brown, who then becomes this political nomad and starts up all these different parties by himself. But the Clann never recovers really without him.
I think in a long political career, Noel Brown was in something like five or six political parties. I mean, he was absolutely everywhere. But Clann was shattered. I mean, they went from 10 seats to 2. And then the familiar face of Fianna Fáil walks back in the door into government. I don't think they ever recovered. They actually dissolved themselves in 65. McBride went on to live a very colourful life. Founds Amnesty International, international chairman from 61 to 75. Wins the Nobel Prize for Peace. Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations system. I mean, there were great moments in Sean McBride's life. Clann McBride, he may not have remembered as one of them.
Smaller parties then, in summary, are still terrified of coalition. We've seen what's happened to the PDs, to Labour, to the Green Party, and they all kind of take a long time to rebuild again. They do pretty well to brush up on Clann na Publica and its experiences, wouldn't they?
I mean, the big question at ending this slot is, like, what was Clann na Publica? And I think history has recorded them as one thing, a cautionary tale for smaller parties in coalition government. But perhaps the biggest lesson that, you know, it's not enough to define yourself by what you're not. In other words, it's not enough to say, we're not Fianna Fáil. And I think the lack of ideological unity may have been their undoing, to be honest, but big characters, big egos, let's be honest, like McBride and Brown against each other. But the words "Remember Clann na Publica," I think will be whispered in a few years in Leinster House in the days, weeks, and maybe months. We could be looking at months.
The one thing that I think is fascinating, that the idea, the novel solution of having Johnny Costello as Taoiseach back in 1948, that I did hear some people, including on this show last week, suggest the idea that if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael can't get together or have some discomfort, they should just make Eamon Ryan. We'll see. Yeah, stranger things have happened. Donal, as ever, thank you very much for that. Donal Fallon is an author, historian. He's the author of the Come Here to Me books, and he's also the host of the Three Castles Burning podcast, which you can find on the interwebs.